Friday, April 12th. Here's a little taste of what's coming up on the mayor's office.
They have a Sasquatch come out and walk like it's incredible, dude.
You hadn't seen that before today, right?
No, I haven't seen it. It was so good.
That's unbelievable. The guy just
I'd go to the games just for that, right? Would you?
Absolutely. And I'm in love with this good life.
How we doing?
Doing great, man. Dude, I'm just sitting up a couple minutes ago watching you struggle, bro. Central scribbles, dude. What was that supposed to be? The Eiffel Tower you were drawing?
Dude, I'm the worst draw. I do that MLB Central scribbles on MLB Central on the network, bro. They're like, it was JP France. We were doing starting pitches, and I'm like, what can I draw about France? And they're like, and somebody's in my ear going, Eiffel Tower. So I'm like, all right, I'll draw the Eiffel Tower. And
I like that.
It turns out, I thought it was close. Wait, I know what you're going to do.
If you took the stick figure and put a beret on it, that's what I was thinking. Like taking like my hand, put like a French
beret. Bro, do you think I could have put a French beret on it? I can't even draw stick figures on a French beret. Oh my God. And dude, it was cool. Having on today on the show, we had Cole Reagan's in. And Brady Singer, two pitchers for the Royals. So it was just cool having them on MLB Central and being with D-Row and Shahadi and Roflo, dude. They're the best.
Those dudes are big. Let's stick on the Royals real quick. We've had a fan actually was like, hey, you guys aren't talking Royals enough now. You got to hang out with two of the players today. They got something going right now. They're here in New York.
Well, dude, I think one of the biggest thing with the Royals is they're starting pitching. I think they have a 1.98 starting pitching. They've won 7 in a row. They're 9-4. They might have the best player in baseball, arguably. Let's just say arguably the best player in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. right now. You go back and look at Bobby Witt Jr.'s stats in the little before the All-Star break last year until now. Bro, he is up there as one of the best players in the game, and you knew he was going to get it going. Dude, I coached him at the Under Armour All-American game years back, and I remember thinking, this guy is going to be the first pick of the draft, no doubt about it. It turned out to be Adley Rutschman was the first pick. Bobby Witt went second. But when you watch this team, dude, you got Bobby Witt having a huge year. You got MJ Melendez, who's an absolute stud. He's reached safely in each of the last 12 games, slashing .325 with like almost an 1,100 OPS, 8 extra base hits. He was the number two prospect behind Bobby Witt Jr. He's come up the last couple of years, made a swing adjustment in the second half last year. Remember that name, MJ Melendez. We might be talking about another star on that team. I mean, there's so many good players. Sal Perez is kind of doing his thing, but I think the pitching, man, has really – they got that Cole Reagans. Have you seen his stuff?
Yeah,
nasty. They got him from in the Aroldis Chapman deal last year when he went to Texas. That could end up being an absolute steal for the Kansas City Royals, man.
Yeah, and during the streak, by the way, they've won games 10-1. They've won games 2-1. They've won games 3-0, 13-3, 11-2. They can beat you in any type of ball game. And while we're on the subject, by the way, like, are you concerned about the Astros? Is it over? Is this run over, dude? Because they just got boat raced by the Royals. Pretty boat raced.
Dude, they got crushed by the Royals. They got swept by the Yankees in the first series of the year, a 4-game series. I must admit, and Framber Valdez just went down. I'm a little concerned, actually. I'm actually concerned. I don't know. And I also think that Dusty Baker had a big, big influence on that team. So, for how they're playing right now, I'm definitely concerned about the Astros. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Listen, bro, it's a short sample size. What are we, 14 games in, 15 games in?
Mm-hmm.
There's still 145 to go.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of games. But they are 10. 3.5 back. Sure. At the end of April, you don't want to be back how far? You don't want to be more than like five games back?
Yeah. Because they all count. You remember, we always say like, oh, you look at the games at the end of the year, like, oh, what about April? You guys, you know, terrible. Dude, I want to talk. Remember in the offseason we talked about Michael Wacha? Remember, you were big on him.
Yeah.
You're like, Michael Wacha's out there. Dude, the Royals signed him for 2 years, $32 million. Good for them. And he's doing great, dude.
Yeah.
Wacha has allowed three runs in five innings versus Orioles in his first start. And then last Saturday against the White Sox, he gave up two hits over seven scoreless, 3-0 win. I mean, like you said, you got Brady Singer, you got Reagans, you got Wacha. That rotation has been great. And also too, bro, have you seen when Vinny Pascatino, when he gets a hit, he's six for eight with three extra base hits and eight RBIs the past 2 days. When he gets a hit there, they have a Sasquatch come out and walks like, it's incredible, dude.
You hadn't seen that before today, right?
I haven't seen it. It's so good.
That's unbelievable. The guy just
I'd go to the games just for that, right? Would you?
Absolutely. It's so funny. Who was it? Lauren tried to draw his face today, and one of the teammates was like, he actually kind of looks like that because it's all just hair and a mug. Oh my God, dude, they got a thing going. By the way, back to Wacha real quick, 14-4 with a 3-2-2 last year. You know,
right?
Let's go.
Yeah, I can't believe he was just sitting around.
He was just sitting around. Anybody could have had him. Meanwhile, real quick, you know, Jordan Montgomery was sitting around for a while, signs that deal. It's like 1 year with an option. He could wind up making $50 million over the next 2 years, which is not really bad. However, he just fired Boris, dude. Boris.
Oh, that interesting. You have to wonder if teams are gonna, if I don't know, you have to wonder if Boris has been so tough over the years, you're wondering if they're gonna start who knows, doing that to his clients or whatever. But who knows, at the end of the day, Boris is the best in the industry as far as getting his clients what they're worth. This offseason was definitely weird for him, you know, with Bellinger and Snell and Jordan Montgomery just not getting really what they're worth.
Yeah, well, he's got Juan Soto sitting there for next offseason. He'll make all that money back if he wants, dude.
It'll be a big one for him.
If Soto continues to be this good, to be this type of a teammate, and to embrace the Yankees so much, like, he's made an impact on and off the field. Well, let's start talking about what he's going to make.
Yeah.
He's how old? 24? 24?
No, I think he's... Hold is on. He 20? Yeah, I think he's 25.
He's 25, dude. He's 25. On his 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like he's a seven-year veteran. He's 25 years old.
I know, it's incredible. They came up, and I feel like he's only getting better. Makes everybody in the lineup better. He's a perfect fit for the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, but the whole thing with him, dude, don't forget he turned down $450 million with the Nationals. It looks like he might have been right.
Yeah, how about that? Imagine that.
It was 13 years, $450 million, and Boris is like, no. You know, he's going to get north of 500, I would think.
You would have to think so. Especially if he's back to hitting for average. Because, you know, he dipped down those last few years. He looks like he could contend for the batting title again this year. As compared to last year, he had a lot of bombs. Hit 275. Let's not forget, he did have a 410 on base percentage. But he had some years where he was 350, 313. I think he's back to that guy, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he might be, dude. He might be, man. He it's such a nice swing, and I love his approach. I think we talked about this the other day, but at the end of the game, they were talking about he went double down the left field line on a heater and then hit a changeup out of the ballpark to right field. And Meredith Markle, who I love, said she said, hey, listen, are you going to start using that right field porch, short porch, and maybe try to go for it? And he said, no. Left field. I got to stay left field. That's when I'm locked in. And that right field just happens. Success leaves clues, guys. If you're a hitter out there or you're a coach or you're a dad, try to get your kids going the other way. It sets up the whole bat path. It'll set up a great swing.
Yeah,
listen to Juan Soto.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a guy that hits 30 homers. He can hit 30 home runs in a year. Have you noticed he's been hitting a lot of low line drives and a lot of ground balls through holes? And yes. I actually saw this really cool clip yesterday of what's his name? Third baseman for the Phillies, greatest home run hitting third baseman.
Oh, Mike Schmidt. I saw that too, bro.
Did you see that clip? Where he's talking about, forget about hitting a ball up. This is like in the 80s.
And he's like, hit down.
And he said, when I would get into a slump, I would just try to hit ground balls. And this is a guy with like, what are you, 550 home runs in his career? Yep. I thought that was cool. I almost sent that to you.
Dude, did you also see the clip? That's a great clip. I sent to Jake the other day. Okay. There's also a great clip of Wes Helms. He used to play in the big leagues with the Braves and a couple other teams. Great video of him talking about when he was with Gary Sheffield in Atlanta. He was in a slump. And Barry Bonds told him, they were talking at the cages. He goes, hey, man, start hitting hard ground balls to the second baseman in batting practice. Just hard grounders. So he said that day in BP, started hitting hard grounders. His Sheffield went off for the rest of the year. Hit like 370 liners everywhere, rockets. Just, but that feel of getting on top of the ball, low line drives or hard grounders, you know, to short or second. And that, because in the game, that swing plays on the plane of the ball.
Yeah, let's stay right there, because I was watching a Mets game the other day, and Pete Alonso's up. And it was like the first inning. I got to give Keith Hernandez, he was so great that day, because Pete has been fouling balls straight back. Like, which you say, you know, normally that means you're doing it right. You're just a little off. And in the first inning, Keith was like, I kind of told him the other day. He said he told Alonso the other day. He's like, you are right underneath everything. He's like, maybe take a game and just start trying to hit grounders, man, because you're a centimeter off. He's like, maybe if you're just kind of like, just change your mindset, try to hit a grounder or two. And it's funny. It's like 3 days in a row, I've heard people saying, you want to get right, try to hit it down, you know, hit on that downward play. We're not, this is starting to, you know, not everybody's going anymore.
Yeah. Well, I start to realize like, this isn't sustainable. I really believe that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, where your focus goes, your energy flows. Where your focus goes, your intention flows. If you're thinking about in the box anything but the ball, you're not as locked in as you should be. So if you're thinking about getting on top of the ball, you know, a direction, I'm going to get on top of this baseball, hit a ball, hit a ground ball, or hit a line drive, all of a sudden you're giving your eyes intention to the ball. I just think it works more often than it doesn't.
I agree. I used to have a trigger when I was younger. When I wasn't going well, I would drop my back shoulder. And so if I was popping a ball up, it's because of my back shoulder. I would always be dipping it before swinging. And it's the same concept, you know. It's great to see it coming back to like.
I love it.
Yeah, nice. Hey, you know what? There's a couple other guys I saw. You ripped through some of them on Central today. Pick up a couple names off of that list you had.
Yeah.
Off some studs that you love so far this year.
Well, you know, Ryan McMahon is raking out there in Colorado, just, you know, really going off. I mean, he's really been driving the baseball this season. He's kind of a guy you always thought would be a perennial all-star, but he's just been a pretty good player. But maybe this is the year he totally breaks out, but he's off to a hot start. MJ Melendez, we talked about for the Royals. This kid's got a chance to be an absolute star. And when we faced him last year with the Yankees, I remember seeing him going, who's this kid? Like, ball was jumping off his bat. Josh Naylor, dude, out there with the Cleveland Guardians, this guy rakes. Hit 308 last year with 17 pumps, 97 RBIs. Already has three home runs. And get this, chance. I think he's hitting 333, three bombs, three doubles, five walks, four Ks.
Oof.
You've got to love that, dude. You look at a guy like Josh Naylor, oh, he's punching out a lot. No, dude. He's not punching out, and he's striking, walking more than he's striking out, which is incredible.
It's incredible.
So that's a guy, you know, that's awesome. We also talked about Volpe. You know, he's obviously, you know, had a great beginning of the season. We talked about Mike Trout too. I mean, don't sleep on Mike Trout. Six bombs. Tyler O'Neill out there in Boston, dude. Six bombs, leading the league too, right there with Trout. Could be another dumb trade for the St. Louis Cardinals when, you know, don't forget about the outfielders. They got rid. They had Randy Arozarena. Rosarena, they had Adolis Garcia, and now Tyler O'Neill. I mean, hey,
crazy. Hey,
three stars.
Nice. One thing back to Trout. Like, you're a proponent. Like, if you're like happy in your life, you're happy in your job. I just noticed today, Mike Trout, they just announced they're having a baby boy. So probably like just in such a good mindset. And like, I got to think it translates a little bit when you're in a really, really good place everywhere else. You're really good in your job. It's probably similar in baseball, I would say.
Dude, I know when I had my kids, you know, I had Andrew in 2001. I was 27. Wow. Incredible. 27 years old, you know, and then Jake came in 2003. Like, you know, it's like, it is definitely something about, you know, having kids, going home to kids, keeps things in perspective. You know what I mean? It's just, it's great. It makes you a better player, I think.
Yeah. Which one of your kids pooped all over the weight room?
Jake. Jake pooped all the weight room. He was like 2 years old. Matt Krause, the weight guy, comes in. I'm like, he's like, hey, Case, I think we got a problem. I go, what happened, dude? He's like, your son had a little accident on the exercise bike. I go in there and just, not only did he have an accident, had an accident, stepped in it, and then was running around the weight room. I'm like, oh my God. Is it? I'm in full uni making $8 million a year scrubbing the floors. Like, just,
Oh, dude, I'll tell you one real quick. We have like one of those Roomba vacs, you know, those little robo vacs.
Oh, love it. I have one of those.
All right. So when Bella was getting older, at one point, like towards the end of her life, she would, every once in a while, she would go in the house, but steak, dude, Roomba ran over.
Oh my God.
And we didn't know it.
Oh no.
You talk about like the skid marks, you say, dude, it looked like a NASCAR race happened. Ah. In my entire front of the house.
What?
Just got a toothpick. And, you know, it's got like wheels, almost like a Jeep Wrangler wheels with the divots in them, those things.
Yeah.
Just gets Q-tips and she's standing over the sink. And I go, don't you dare put one of those Q-tips up to that thing. I go, we are throwing this thing out today and I'm ordering another one tomorrow. I'm like, you are not going through the motions of going in every spoke of every wheel. I'm like, we got to clean this house first.
Oh my God, dude, did it all through the kitchen?
All through the kitchen, all through the front living room. We had a little rug, a little area rug in the front.
Oh, man. Wait, were you guys not home?
No, Jess was upstairs showering. I was down here working. I think I was doing the show with you or something. And then we go upstairs and we're like, Jess is like, what is this? What happened? I'm like, I didn't do it. I'm like, you think I did this?
Did it smell so bad, dude?
It was terrible. It was a terrible experience. And if you go online, like it's all over TikTok or like Instagram, that happens to people way more than you think with indoor dogs.
My God. And you and Jess are like the cleanest, neat. Your house is so neat and clean. You must have been beside yourself. Oh my God. So
funny. It was funny. Speaking of beside himself, we got to talk about this. I'm going to read Bob Nightingale, dude. This the Ohtani thing. Okay, we said he's exonerated.
Right. But
dude, we did not know the scale of which was going on here. 19,000 bets. This is by the interpreter. Average bet, $12,800. That's a small vehicle. Total losing bets, Sean, $182.9 million.
Oh, my God. Total
winning bets, $142.2 million. He got a bunch of it back. Net loss, dude. Here's how much of Ohtani's money. If I took your money, $40.7 million he lost.
Bro.
How does a company – my question is more – forget about this, like – the handlers and the people and your PR team and your marketing team and your agent and your accountant. How does that get past them? $40.7 million was missing from his bank account.
That means he had a lot of money in the bank account.
He's got a lot of money.
You know what I mean? Like, because if he was wiping out the bank account, it wouldn't have been that big a deal, but he's got to have a lot of money in that bank account.
Absolutely insane. I mean, there's really,
dude, I think the great thing about this, Chinch, is all this information coming out, and the feds don't mess around, dude. If the feds are involved, they're uncovering everything you've ever done in your life. And this guy and whoever he's, the fact that they have all this information about the interpreter, you know, now means that let's have some closure on this. Shohei Ohtani is a victim of fraud. Shohei Ohtani is a victim of theft. You know what I mean? So, like, let's stop with the, hey, you know, he's putting bets on, you know, listen, at the end of the day, he literally got robbed. He got robbed and right with a guy that he trusted, you know, a big time, was his right-hand man. It's almost, it's a pretty sickening thing. Yeah. It's a big lesson learned, obviously. But I love it that the feds did this investigation so that we can have closure to know Shohei Ohtani never bet on baseball. Shohei Ohtani did not know this was going on. Shohei Ohtani was a victim of fraud and the victim in this case of theft.
It's unbelievable, dude. Dude, when I get like a $4 like Apple auto charge on my bank account, I'm like, what is this? Where did this $4 come from? What is this? Did I buy some app? What's happening? Imagine it being $40.7 million. 40, you got to throw up over that. Oh, damn, I get it.
Dude, that's a stomach turner right there. That's like, freaking, that's definitely the, you know, that's ridiculous. I do the same thing, dude. Whenever I look at my credit card bill, I'm like, $10.99 for PlayStation. What's going on here? It's like the kids are buying like something.
No. I remember once Harold's kid, Andrew, when he was a kid, they didn't have like a lock on one of their apps, and he spent like $450 on like upgrades to some little kid video game. Does that happen to you?
My daughter did that on Roblox, the game Roblox.
Yeah.
Jillian was like 8. I go, there's like $250 on my account. She didn't know. She's like hitting the button. Yes, yes, yeah. You know, buy more blocks, buy more coins. I felt bad. I had to call her out one day. I had to come to Jesus moment. I'm like, listen, Jillian, are you hitting a button on Roblox that's charging us like $20? She goes, yeah, I just hit that button right there. I go, that's real money. That's not fake. But it was my fault because like all my stuff was so accessible. So I had to it's so funny, man. Oh my God.
Oh, it's hysterical, man. It's hysterical. Anyway.
What do you got going on this weekend, Chich?
Dude, big weekend. Going to my wife's job, which is a pretty cool thing because she works for the Mets. So I'm going I'm going Sunday. Really excited about this one. Doc Gooden jersey or number retirement day, dude.
Bro, that's so cool. That is so cool. Dude, I love me some Doc Gooden. He's just one. I've got a chance to cross paths with Doc a few times. Like I said, I lockered next to him in my first big league camp with the Indians. 1998, he could not have been sweeter and nicer to me. So I'm so great. I'm so happy for Doc Gooden, man, that he gets his due. I mean, no one should ever wear 16 ever again, dude, ever.
No.
Doc Gooden. And they're doing Strawberry too, right?
Strawberry later in the season, which those guys, they're heroes. They're superheroes in this town.
They're heroes, dude. Yeah, dude, whenever you talk Mets, especially 86 Mets, Gooden, Strawberry, and Gooden, Strawberry, and Gooden.
Oh, cool.
Those are the years.
Numbers. Dude, he was 19 years old. He was the best pitcher in baseball at 19 years old. Obviously, he went through all those tough moments, but like he's back. I'm so glad they're doing this for him. Like you can tell. There's been so many interviews on like SNY. They're covered.
Yeah, he's like touched. He's still touched. Right? He's like choked up about it.
Completely choked up about it. And it's going to be a great thing, man, because he's about as legendary a figure in New York sports history as there is. You know,
He should have been.
I got something for you. Did you know this? Part of your Cincinnati Reds, this is before you got there. Remember when they smoked the, who was it? The A's in the World Series?
Yeah, 1990, yeah.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, you know, Jose Rio didn't really make it until he was a little later on in his career with the Reds.
Yeah.
Here's why. When this was a big story in New York, Doc Gooden comes up and he's getting all the headlines. George Steinbrenner hated when the Mets got the back page over the Yankees. Hated it. So they had a prospect. It was Jose Rio. And they're like, bring him up. And like, you know, all those guys like Stick Michael, they're like, he's too young. He's not ready. He's not ready. And he's like, I don't care. Bring him up. We need our Doc Gooden. He's our Doc Gooden. They brought him up. Didn't do well. Hurt his arm. And then the Yankees lost him. He winds up with the Reds and becoming like a Reds. He's a
wow. I did not know this.
It's a good story, right?
That's really cool. That is really cool. And Jose Rio, dude, he's the reason they won it in 90. They couldn't touch him. That slider.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, but they brought him up to they rushed him in the Bronx to try to steal the headlines back, and it didn't work out for him.
Wow, I did not know that, dude. I did not know that, dude. Jose Rio, do you remember the comeback he made in 2002? He came back with the Reds, dude. When he came out of the pen for the first time, I didn't realize how big a deal Jose Rio was until he came back, came out of that bullpen, dude, and that freaking place almost came down.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Oh, here, by the way, I'll give you some numbers. 1984 with the Yankees, 19 years old. Okay.
Wow.
2-8 with a 4.76 in only 6-7 innings, and they got rid of it. He wound up going to Oakland, struggled a little bit. Then he gets to the Reds, and the rest is history, dude. He's pretty.
Eric Davis used to tell me a great story. He said Jose Rio would come up to him before every start. And Eric Davis would go up to Rio. He's like, what do you need today, Jose? Like, get me two and it's over. Get me two and it's over.
Wow.
And he said one time they were in the playoffs, and I think it was in the World Series, and maybe he gave up a run early or something. He's like, get me three, game's over. And I think they might have won 3-2. I don't know the exact score, but wow. It was something like that.
That's sick.
He went up to ED. He's like, hey, tell the boys, get me three today. I got the rest.
Wow.
Love that.
Yeah, dude.
I love that. All right, yeah. So you got any
big questions? One other quick story on top of that.
Let's go.
You know, I was at Seth Meyers the other day, and the security guard there used to be a former NYP D policeman, John. Great, great guy. He's a big Mets fan, so he's always joking around how Seth Meyers is coming out and with monologues about the Mets, you know, kind of gave zingers to the staff because a lot of them are Mets fans. Right. So it's kind of funny. But he was saying that back in the day, after 9-11, you know, so much NYPD police presence. He said a bunch of those guys were up in the box, like that Yes Network box, or one of the boxes up there. And he's like, a few of them were Mets fans. He said they had like a size of a phone kind of watching the Mets game on there. Oh. And someone came up to him and they said, hey, listen, if Steinbrenner sees that, he's like, he'll throw everybody out of the stadium. He's like, wow. He's like, if there was ever a Mets game on anywhere in Yankee Stadium, like, you're gone.
Wow, dude. That's funny. I got one more. That's an amazing one. I got one more Steinbrenner. There's guys, Jeter, this clip's flying around too. Jeter, the other day, I'm doing an interview, he said Steinbrenner used to call down between innings to tell guys to go shave because their beard was too coming in. In during games, dude. You remember the Mattingly thing, right? That was a crazy thing back here in the day.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, dude, this is the New York. This was legendary. The Yankees sucked at the time. Stump Merrill was the manager at the time.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly's hair, he's starting to get like a, he had a big flow, like his flow got long. And it's before one of the games, and Steinbrenner was like, he's got to cut that hair. He didn't cut the hair for a couple days. Steinbrenner calls down before a game, like a half hour before a game, and goes, bench Mattingly. He was a captain at the time, and Stump did it. And that was like probably the lowest point. That was arguably top five lowest points in New York Yankees history. As far as like, they were terrible. You took your captain and you insulted him. And it was a big deal here in New York, dude.
Wow.
You eventually got it here.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? I can't.
You can't bench Donnie Ballgame because he's got a mullet going.
Dude, it was a good mullet too. Anyway. All right, good. What do you got this weekend?
What do I got? I'm going to 412 Thrive. It's a breast cancer foundation, and Sarah's on the board. We're going to that tonight in Pittsburgh.
Cool.
And then just some good weekend stuff in the Berg, and watching Jake play Toledo this weekend. So nice. Tune into some Kent State baseball and got the girls. So just gonna see my parents. I'm coming home to see you guys. Love you guys. I know you're watching. And, dude, all's good, man. It's going to be a great weekend. So I hope everybody out there listening is going to have a great weekend, too. I think the weather's turned to change. We're sunny skies. It's coming soon. And have a great weekend, dude. Have a great time with Jess. And if you see Carlos Mendoza, man, tell him I said hello.
I will. All right, bro.
Yeah. You guys are going to be in the box, too, aren't you?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you are. I know where your seats are. All right, brother. Have a great weekend. Thanks, everybody. See you, man.